Patrick and Suzanne at lunch this Tuesday, the 14th of September, 71, after we worked the cattle with the vet and made a steer off the colt. Channel 1 over, and continuation of the visit with Rick and Suzanne this Tuesday, the 14th of September, 71. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with Rick and Suzanne at lunch this Tuesday, the 14th of...
Did you cook supper for all that?
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am, let me look at you. How are you feeling?
I just can't hardly go.
Well, you don't look like it.
I'm so. My poor old side just kills me. But I'm better than what I was.
Well, that's what? I've been missing you. We left you a note.
Yeah, I found it.
Yeah. And we stopped other times, and you were... I wish they'd come on in and sit down and talk a minute. You had
the 2:30.
Oh,
Marvin is just filthy.
He
and
is.
Ricky is too.
He's never been in a hayfield before.
He said he'd never seen a baler work. He was really amused there.
Oh, he was. Mm-hmm. Did you get pretty much done?
Yeah, we got all in that we had cut with something 400 bales, I think.
That me?
Mm-hmm. We got 110 bales yesterday evening and 300 and something this afternoon.
And that's clover?
Clover. If we just have some good weather next week, we'll wind it up.
You got more?
Yes, ma'am. It's way up like that.
Well, how did you get that big, that much growth?
I don't know. We just planted it, and we didn't give it that fertilized. But it naturally made it.
And Marvin took Suzanne stayed a while?
Yes, ma'am, she stayed a while.
And not any fertilizer.
We sure didn't fertilize it.
I don't remember where that is. Is it the Denton place?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And you've been all day?
Ma'am?
It's
I have somebody?
9:30. Marvin
well,
said...
Well, how do?
Howdy.
How do? I didn't know count tonight. I just went to bed.
Well, you ain't by yourself. I ain't been no count in 6 months.
You sure don't look like you're no count.
I'm not. I sure am not.
You been riding the tractor?
Mm-hmm. I got off of it, Curtis and Linda come about 5:00, and I got off of it. I told him I had to go to the house.
You had enough for one day?
Mm-hmm.
I like to ride the tractor out there. I just soon be out there riding the tractors in the house. But you know, I get me sore sometimes.
I don't know how you have ridden it with your back, like with your...
It don't seem to hurt me so bad as the truck. Get in the truck and ride, and it just about kills me.
Oh, yes. Bouncing?
Mm-hmm. Seem like that shake.
Yeah.
Oh,
you sure look healthy. I declare, if I was a doctor and you'd come to me, I...
Well, I tell you, if you'd have seen me when I went to Dr. Gibbony, I got Marvin to carry me down to Dr. Gibbony.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I told Dr. Gibbony, I said, Dr. Gibbony, I've been everywhere and spent all my money, and now I come down here to cry on your shoulder. And he said, well, what's your trouble? And I told him. I carried all my medicine with me.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you just wait a few minutes and let me go. And I'll be back. And I come back. He come back. And he said, them there little red and white capsules Dr. Daly give you, he said, I want you to continue keeping them. But he said, you throw every bit of that other junk away. Don't take near another dose of it.
It wasn't helping you.
And he said, you want me to tell you what's wrong with you? I said, yes, I do. He says, it's the flare-up of them shingles that you had and arthritis.
Oh, that shingles, I never will forget that attack of shingles you had.
My head was all broke out, you know, and I just scratched my head, thought it was something just as raw, and I told Dr. Daly about it, and I said, look up here how I'm broke out. I said, just feel my forehead and all around it. He said, Dr. Daly told me, he said, you know what is wrong? I said, no. But I want to know. I got to have something done for me. And he gave it some name. I couldn't tell you what he said. And he said, anytime you want them took off, I take them off. I said, well, go ahead and take them off. And by golly, the doctor gave me, said it was the shingles. Flare up of the shingles.
And cold breaking out?
Yeah, and my head itch. So he told me, he said, I want you to take. And that there expert specialist told me to take 10 aspirins a day. And he said I had muscle spasms. And Dr. Gibney said, I'm going to give you a shot. And said, it ain't going to be no painkiller. It's going to be a medication. And he said, next Thursday, I want you right back in my office. So the next Thursday come, I went back. Dr. Gibney was gone. His son-in-law got killed.
Oh, Lord help us.
And we went in and talked to the nurse, Marvin asked the nurse.
I'll be right back, I can tell you.
Said, how many shots can she have a week? And she says, only one. Marvin said, well, could you give it to her? And she said, yeah, I can give it to her. I know what it is. So she went and gave me one.
Uh-huh.
So we told her that we would be back either Friday or Saturday to see Dr. Gibney. But we decided we'd wait till Saturday because he might not be back from the funeral. Mm-hmm.
He went out one day and Mr. Weaver said he'd get all the lumber and everything ready. And then Jim would go out later and help him build the pen.
And they did that?
Yeah, they built the pen. And Mr. Weaver showed him his hunting horn that he carved out of a cow horn. And, oh yeah, and the pedigrees in the magazine.
Yeah.
Well, they can go over and see. I mean, it's been a long time.
I don't know. I talked to the little people down there, actually. But, I never had any idea about lining out what anybody did. In the classes, it's been a long time since I had a free-for-all. I control it all. I keep it, you know, within the limits of the course.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how it was.
Yeah.
The free-for-all thing was ruined. It makes most of them unhappy. It makes them very unhappy. Sometimes they rebel, but they just rebel. I'm going to keep control of it, you know, the direction. Just keep some direction to it. I'll actually shift directions just as long as it is, you know, see what it is. I mean, good Lord. I was just thinking, if Faye was in here now and heard me talk about Emerson or Faulkner, it wouldn't sound like the same thing that she knew.
10 years ago.
And less. And it's, you see, Suzanne, I worked with her in 68. And now, I don't know how much she recollects of what happened then, but now it's, you see, it's all almost different direction. Almost different direction. For one thing, I found, I used to think, and I carried it over here, I used to think, when I was up the country, I used to think, I've worked with these groups, and I when they get into my little thing there, and they would make contact with these same people, that's all I ever worked with. And I thought, well, sir, once they get a glimpse, that's all they need. They didn't turn loose. Let them take what courses they want, do whatever they want to do. That's all they need. But now, I don't know whether I've changed or whether the world's changed. I think it's both. But I think most of it's the world. I don't feel that way anymore. I think now, I don't feel that way now. The fine people that I work with who have a pretty good glimpse of what it is, are perfectly willing to abandon it. Just completely drop it. And get a degree. The institutions, it's perfectly clear now. All the institutions tyrannize over you. And there's the chance, you see, of pursuing any inquiry. I'd say about 1,000 to 1. Almost insurmountable. And I just wonder what the future will be, you see. You've got a future of these public opinion polls.
Yeah.
David Brent had that.
Yeah, ready made inquiry. All canned up and ready to go.
Overabundance of PhDs. They have public opinion.
All to be comprehensive and pompous.
So far as I have experienced it.
Well, that's what so many people are really striving for now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's.
As I have experienced it, all the institution can do is close the mind, is seal it up. And make intellectual people, highly skilled people. That's all the institutions can do. Insofar as I can see it. One of the rare things, they were voting on University College, whether to abandon it or not. And all these high powers in the English Department had lobbied against the University College. They were all sitting down there together. And by the time the vote came, they all said, yay. Except Hellstrom. And he said, what the hell would these birds do with freshman English if they had it? They're just trying to make little PhD.
Hellstrom. Remarkable. Remarkable.
And he was out here the other day, and he rode with me here, so this was out here. He'd been in here living at Guy's Place, and he says, you know, I just feel so narrow. I feel as if I'm just.
You think we've had enough today without Mr. Weaver?
No! No! I'm better kind of tired, but Rick hadn't done as any reporting today.
You mean hadn't been his typewriter?
Yeah, he hadn't got his typewriter.
No, I had. I didn't take it with me last night, and I I realized that when I got to town.
Let me tell you, Rick. Now, this is the blunder you made. But it's nothing like the blunders I made. The only trouble with Miss Bessie, Faye's the one who made it.
I made the blunder.
Miss Bessie had just got out of bed.
Yeah, I know, because her hair was...
Yeah. And I never go down every morning. She stays up on it. But I can tell you some of my blunders. That just puts that in the dark.
Well,
so I thought she did right well, and you did too, under the circumstances.
You know what she did? She got up and walked back in the house. Said she had something on the stove, and you could hear her cooking.
Yeah.
And she came back, her hair was all fixed, she had her glasses on.
Yeah.
And then she started talking.
Oh.
She wouldn't look at me without her glasses on.
Oh.
So I was just wondering what was wrong, you know. And then when she came back and I realized, oh.
Of course, those little chuckles she has, there's a perfect charm in her manner.
Yeah.
She's always had that, see, because she's always dealt with important people who did all the talking. And she had to do something, so she chuckled.
Yeah.
This is Channel 1 over, around 200 or 300 on this visit at noon on Tuesday, the 14th of September, 71, with Rick and Suzanne after we vet came and we worked the cattle. Channel 1 over, around 200 or 300. And the end of the visit was Suzanne and Rick at lunch, the 14th of September, Tuesday, 14th of September, 71. Channel 1 right. Channel 1 over, around 200 or 300. And the end of the visit was Rick and Suzanne at lunch after we worked the cattle, Tuesday, the 14th of September, 71.